Now, there are a lot of places to get your news, but the most widely viewed source of news in the U.S., local television stations. But despite their reach, many people say they're not getting what they want from their local news. One national media company, Scripps, recently decided to take time to talk to everyday people about their thoughts on the news and found a desire for more complexity, less negativity, and a better understanding of their communities. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you watch a local TV news channel? What do you think of their coverage? Do they cover issues with enough depth? Do you see your community covered accurately? If you were running local evening news, what changes would you make? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Amanda Ripley is a journalist and author whose books include the latest, High Conflict, Why We Get Trapped and How We Get Out. She wrote about TV news for The Atlantic. Amanda, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here with you, Rob.
Before we get into some of the issues with local TV news, let's talk about what a big deal it is. How big a role does it play in our overall news consumption?
Yeah, you know, we talk a lot about Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and those things are really powerful. But for news, as a news source, local TV news is more popular than YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Overall, Americans trust it more than any other medium, including newspapers and digital media, according to a 2019 Pointer survey. So it is not a lot of trust, okay, but it's more trusted than other things. And in fact, it might be the last trusted news source in America. When by that, I mean trusted across great swaths of the country, across the political aisle.
A key word here, too, is local. And where you've got local newspapers, in many cases, at best struggling, or at worst, they're not operating anymore, the local TV news business, you write, is doing pretty well.
Yeah, they actually, I mean, you know, they've had their challenges, but compared to print, I mean, there's just no comparison. They are doing very well. In fact, growing in many places. And they now will sometimes produce 6, 8, 10 hours of news a day for different, you know, different parts of the day. So it is true that people in general trust local news or local anything more than national, right? But unfortunately, there just isn't a business model that's working for local newspapers in most places right now. So local TV news is sort of the last medium standing.
Now, here we are with Scripps, which owns a bunch of these local TV news stations, and they started to look into their coverage and what people thought about it. Bring us along to what they were trying to find out.
Yeah, you know, Scripps reaches about a third of the American, you know, audience. It's not the biggest TV news ownership company, but it is the one that really decided to do a deep dive on listening to people in their homes. You know, typically these TV news companies will spend a lot of money on focus groups, and they pay a lot of attention to ratings and that kind of thing. But they realized that there was a lot they weren't getting. So they went into 100 homes led by a woman named Sarah Fahim at a place called Seek that does sort of anthropological research, not your typical marketing research. And they would spend like 3 hours in people's living rooms asking them really about their lives. You know, when did they get up? What did they do? What were they worried about? What did they think about when they thought about their kids' futures? Things like that. And also, you know, where did they get their news? But there were much deeper questions than you might normally ask in a poll or a marketing focus group.
Talking to Amanda Ripley about local TV news, how it could do better, what a big influence it has on our lives. Amanda, what kind of things did they hear from people about what they wanted / were missing in their local TV news?
You know, Sean McLaughlin, who's the VP of the news division at Scripps, and he personally went to about 60 homes for this listening tour. And he told me that every time, I mean, he just said, man, you could not walk out of these homes without feeling like we're really off base. There were so many things that they had been wrong about, that people were seeing right through. You know, again and again, people complained about the psychological toll that TV news took on them, even as they continued to watch it, right? They felt like it was fear-mongering, that it said that things were breaking news that really weren't that urgent or relevant. They didn't see the complexity of their actual neighborhoods conveyed in the news. So there was this really surprising kind of reality check that they went through sitting in people's homes and really hearing the cold, hard truth of how people felt about the news, even as they continued to watch it.
And there's the old cliche, if it bleeds, it leads, that supposedly shapes a lot of news coverage, really has a lot of the time. What did they find out about coverage of things like incidents of crime or the fire that, you know, you can get on camera, that kind of thing?
Right. So forever, it was always assumed that if you could just get people to watch five more minutes, you know, you've got them. And then you can raise your ad rates based on the ratings. And TV news, local TV news has done a lot to scare Americans from of each other and of our institutions. And, you know, I don't want to suggest that they're the saviors, because they have also done a lot to get us where we are as far as political division and other problems. But what they found is that people weren't just saying they didn't want such fear-mongering stories and sensationalist and cheap thrill stories. They were actually proving it. So Scripps set up a sort of test kitchen, you know, local TV news station in Florida to try things out from what they were learning in people's homes. And they found that people would watch much longer, more in-depth stories, that people wanted reporters and anchors who had a lot of deep local expertise. They still wanted the weather and some of the traditional format of a news broadcast, but they wanted to hear about communities trying to solve problems and not just about the problems. So there seems to have been a shift of some kind, that people are more engaged in these longer, more in-depth stories, and there seems to be some quantitative evidence for it. And, you know, you have to do it well, right? So that's always a challenge. But, you know, what Sean McLaughlin from Scripps told me is that he thinks that if it bleeds, it leads is dead, that fear is no longer working the way it used to. And, you know, thank God for that.
But did they really put into a practice and have a long running news show commitment to that and get any kind of decent results, or did it drive away viewers?
Good question. So they have tried since doing this, it's still sort of ongoing, but they have tried to make a number of changes in their stations. For example, every station has to pick a signature topic and go deep on it, something that's really unique to that community. One station I looked at in Ohio really focused on development and gentrification. And they also asked each station to do in-depth in every news part of the day, so morning, evening, and late night. They've done lots of things to try to push stations to change what they do, but it turns out to be really hard. So Scripps was upfront about the fact that they don't think enough stations are changing quickly enough. There are some exceptions to that rule, like WCPO in Cincinnati and Denver station that I looked at. So there are some ones that they really felt were leading the way and had experienced either an increase in ratings or no decline in ratings, at least. So the Cincinnati station, for example, last year stopped covering non-fatal shootings and vacant house fires and things that were frightening, but not necessarily indicative of a trend or necessarily meaningful as far as most people's day-to-day lives. And that was controversial for some of the older viewers, which was interesting. But the younger viewers, you know, loved it and told them they were delighted that they could finally let their kids watch the TV news with them. So there is definitely a split. And this is part of the challenge, is that, you know, as the TV news audiences age out, it's the younger viewers who they really desperately need to engage.
We're talking to Amanda Ripley, journalist and author, talking about local TV news, what it's lacking, and attempts by some stations to try something different. Amanda's the author of the book High Conflict: Why We Get Trapped and How We Get Out. We'll talk a little bit about how this local TV news plays into our bigger societal conflicts in just a bit. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you watch local TV news? Do you share some of these concerns about too much focus, maybe on something scary, not enough on constructive things? Did you used to watch TV news but bailed on it? Why, if so? Have you worked in TV news yourself, or do you now? Love to hear your perspective on what you are hearing about your job. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Amanda Ripley, journalist and author. She wrote a piece for The Atlantic looking at the problems people have with their local TV news stations and how some of those stations are changing how they work, trying to do more complex stories, less of the quick hits on scary stuff. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you have an opinion on local TV news in your community, do you watch it? Do you avoid it? In either case, why? Do you produce it yourself? Are you a local TV news staffer? Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Amanda, you are very concerned, I know, about conflict in our society, polarization, and there's a connection here. Can you talk about what some of the problems you are raising and that Scripps was raising in their studies can do to feed into and either make things worse or help solve things?
Yeah, you know, we have lost the trust of the American people as journalists, and it's particularly pronounced on the right. So mainstream, serious journalism is no longer trusted or believed by large swaths of the country. Now, whether this is fair or unfair, it remains a reality. And so this is not true in other countries, I just want to note. No national news source is trusted by more than half of Americans. So what you see is that we have no common ground truth, right? So we have these alternative realities that we live in. And it's very hard to go anywhere from there. It's very hard to function as a society, to even fix the problems that we agree should be fixed when you have a totally different set of facts. So to me, this is like the problem, you know, because I'm a journalist, obviously, I think a lot about that. But the distrust that has corroded so many of our institutions and also with each other, right, feels to me like a foundational problem. Like, you can't go anywhere else until you focus on this. So that's why I wanted to do this story on Scripps. They're not the only company innovating in local news, but I wanted to look at the places that are trying to do something differently, because, you know, there's nothing that I can think of for journalism that should be more urgent.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Marcus is with us in Madison. Marcus, hi.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I stopped watching network television decades ago because it was so offensive because of aspects that you're describing. But I do spend some time with radio, and a lot of the same really irritating qualities have gradually been picked up by radio. And another aspect of what you're describing as a mechanism to frighten people as a way to increase audience, this even filters into the presentation of weather. Storms that come through that are really fairly minor, that are treated like they're world-ending events and are had to be carefully monitored by these experts who spent, you know, 2 years in a technical school to be meteorologists. And you don't just report the weather. You have to have a storm team, and they, you know, it's really irritating. And radio and its obsession with weather is the same thing. There's a lot of useless airtime that's eaten up in this, and I wonder if you could comment on it, please.
Marcus, thanks for the call. So scary weather, but I think, Amanda, you mentioned that people do like the weather report on their local TV news, even if it isn't from the storm team.
I like how Marcus described it, like it was a world-ending event every time there's a storm. I think people want to know the weather, but they don't want to be talked down to. And there's a difference, right? And people are, I think audiences are much more sophisticated than sometimes newsrooms assume, right? And so when Scripps went on this listening tour in 100 different homes in 7 cities, this came up a lot. And what they saw again and again was people making fun of their anchors, not just their anchors, but any anchors, just sort of the phoniness, you know, the kind of condescending way that they sometimes talk, and they didn't really know the place where they were that they were covering. And that really kind of hurt. I think it's painful to see that when you work really hard on something. But to their credit, you know, the Scripps executives sort of took that in and have been trying. It's not easy to do, but trying to change the kind of work and role that their anchors play so that they know their community deeply, so they're not talking down or exaggerating things that are obviously embellished and sensationalistic. But, you know, what they found, which is interesting, is that the biggest challenge is the culture of the newsroom. Like any organization, changing the culture, questioning the legacy assumptions, the process, right? It's very hard to change, even when there's a financial incentive to do so, right? In this case, there might be, but there might not be. It sort of depends on how you execute. So that's been a huge challenge. You know, I think like in any organization, whether it's a hospital or a school, it's hard to get people to change what they do, particularly when they're under pressure every day to produce.
Talking to Amanda Ripley, author of the book High Conflict, looking at local TV news, a very popular way for people to get their news, especially their local news, very trusted, but maybe some flaws that some national owners of these stations are looking to change. We heard from Eric on the Ideas Network Facebook page, who writes, I haven't watched local news in years. Who has time to wait until 5 o'clock to see what's happening? Too many other sources of information at your fingertips. And Amanda, is that a concern that if you could just look up the local news online whenever you want it, why turn on the TV to watch it for a half hour?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously been a huge challenge for all news outlets, right? But particularly these sort of legacy TV news and print journalism and trying to find a way to be useful. Now, one of the things that Scripps heard in people's homes is that people didn't seem to be getting their needs met anywhere. Not online, not on TV. You know, there seemed to be this really latent demand for something else, a sense of connection with each other, a sense of seeing their community in full, not in shards. And it was hard for them in some places, you know, to get that anywhere. So definitely local TV news outlets all have websites and they're, you know, working to create more good content online, but it doesn't produce the money. It's the broadcasts that produce the money for now. And so, yeah, to your point, they have to find a way to re-engage younger audiences, particularly with all the digital competition that they face.
Let's go back to our callers now. Ethan is with us in Albany. Ethan, hello.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to bring up the topic of sponsored content on local television. John Oliver just did a piece, this most recent episode of his show on HBO. Basically, people can just buy their way onto the air and report not-so-true services, items, and it was pretty easy for the John Oliver's crew to actually get a fake item put on for medical use and displayed on several prominent local television shows.
Ethan, thanks a lot for the call. This is a concern people have raised, I think, for years. Amanda, a business, maybe a pharmaceutical company, can do this kind of package, get it to the local news stations, and often it ends up on the air. Was that a concern you heard coming up when it comes to credibility?
Absolutely. You know, that's a great example, the blanket that he came up with. And, you know, it's so many of these places are producing so much content every day, and they are so focused on ratings still that they're just easy to manipulate. I think that's undeniable. You know, this is still remains in many places a wasteland when it comes to really deep quality journalism. Sometimes the incentives aren't there. Sometimes the conventions aren't there. Sometimes the leadership isn't there. So there's a lot of variance from city to city, town to town when it comes to local TV news and, you know, local TV, local radio and local newspapers such as they are.
Thanks a lot for that call. Amanda, I want to talk a little more about the stakes here. Sometimes people point toward local politics as the thing that it really is going to affect your life on a daily level more than any other level, but it gets ignored in many ways more than, you know, state or national politics. Do you think there's something similar with local TV news? This is the stuff that affects you in your community, but we don't necessarily put as much thought into it as we do, you know, the DC national coverage media.
Yeah, I mean, I think media elites, such as they are, I mean, this is a ridiculous generalization, but a lot of the people who are editors at places like the New York Times and the Washington Post, they don't watch local TV news. I mean, they don't mostly. So there is a sort of class difference here. But the truth is, local TV news, if you look at the data, I was just amazed. Like, it remains by far, you know, one of the most diverse audiences in any media format when it comes to race, income, education, any number of differences. The only difference is age. You know, they are tend to be a little older, but not always. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of challenges here. And, you know, it's interesting to see companies try to innovate despite all the challenges. Like, you know, I focused on Scripps, but there are other really cool examples, like Univision's New York City station redesigned its late night newscast to feature longer, more substantive stories. And a year later, it won the ratings race for adults ages 18 to 49, beating out all competitors, regardless of language. And that's that 18 to 49 age bracket is sort of the golden ticket for TV news ratings. So that's a big deal. They also dropped sports. They kept the weather. So they've made some changes that have worked out. Lots of places have started dropping mugshot galleries, just determining that they just scared people and played into racial stereotypes and didn't have much news value. So that's something you're seeing in all kinds of formats, including, you know, online sites.
And we'll leave it there. Amanda, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Amanda Ripley, author of the book High Conflict. She joins us for a look at changes in local TV news.